advertisers move consumers to buy soda and cars. They're not known for ousting dictators. But that's what happens in a new movie based on a real-life ad campaign in Chile. In it, a hotshot ad man becomes a prime mover in the successful campaign that removed Generalissimo Augusto Pinochet from power. The movie is called No. It's up for an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film and opens today in New York and L.A. Here's NPR's Mandalita Barco.
Director Pablo Larraín says No is the tale of the ad campaign that helped convince Chileans to cast their ballots against Augusto Pinochet in a national referendum.
This is an epic story. This is a story of a triumph. It's how they defeat a dictator, probably one of the biggest bastards that we ever had in humankind.
A CIA-backed coup d'etat in 1973 got Pinochet into power, and by 1988 he'd been Chile's dictator for 15 years, ruling with his violent military junta. Under his repressive regime, tens of thousands of Chileans were disappeared, tortured, and killed, and hundreds of thousands were forced into exile.
Pinochet felt himself as a god, as the chosen one.
Larraín says Pinochet bowed to international pressures and agreed to legitimize his power in the form of a plebiscite. A yes vote would mean, yes, I want Pinochet to stay in power. Or, no, I don't want Pinochet in power. I want free elections.
No, 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 viva!
No is a somewhat true story using archival footage and fictionalized characters. The film is adapted from a play written by Antonio Skármeta. He's the Chilean novelist whose work was the basis for the movie El Postino. Mexican actor Gael García Bernal plays former exile René Saavedra, a fictionalized character who gets convinced to make TV commercials for the No campaign. They had to meet in secret and were sometimes followed and threatened. García Bernal says they had a tough assignment, getting people to oppose a leader who had terrorized them for so many years.
They had to develop a new narrative, in a sense, so as to convince people to go out and vote, knowing that they were going to vote for no. But go out and vote, meaning that they would have to trust the elections, thinking that Pinochet was not going to rig the elections or was not going to change accept the results.
In the film, the No campaign has to try to convince people like Senora Carmen, a housekeeper who says she's going to vote yes. She says all the people who are disappeared, tortured, and killed, those are things in the past, she says. Now my general says we have democracy. René also faces skepticism from Pinochet's revolutionary opponents, including his recently separated wife. She tells him that voting in the plebiscite will only validate Pinochet's fraudulent referendum.
Le vaya a validar el fraude a Pinochet.
Still, every night for a month leading up to the vote, the No campaign is given 15 minutes on late-night TV to make their case. García Bernal's character is a hotshot advertising man, more accustomed to pitching soda than democracy. He urges the coalition to ditch the grim images reminding Chileans of their years of suffering.
Creo que esto no vende.
I don't think that sells, he tells them. But joy and hope, he says, that's what Chile needs. He comes up with a positive message and a jingle. The movie uses the real TV campaign for the No vote. It ended up looking like a 1970s Coca-Cola commercial. People from all walks of life, students, workers, families, mimes, dance and smile and sing that happiness is on its way. Director Larraín says the message was simple but direct.
Finally, they were just proposing something that it was just bright and rainbows and people that was just dancing, and it was just so fresh.
Larraín was just 12 years old in 1988, but he remembers how the No campaign transformed Chile.
We were living in this sort of gray mood, and it was just a suffocating environment. That's why it's so amazing what happened with the No campaign. And these guys that show up and they brought a whole new spirit and perspective.
The plebiscite led to the democratic election of Patricio Aylwin in 1990. He plays himself in the movie No. But Larraín notes that Pinochet stayed in power as commander-in-chief of the Chilean army and as a senator for life. Pinochet was extradited from London to stand trial for human rights violations, tax evasion, and embezzlement. But his lawyers kept him out of court, arguing he had mild dementia. Pinochet died in 2006 at the age of 91.
He died without never stepping in a courthouse and millionaire. So it's quite sad because we really never achieved justice. And most of the people who actually killed and tortured others in my country that is just still walking on the street. That's why this issue, the whole human rights violation issue, is still as an open wound.
Larraín's previous films dealt with the beginning and middle of the Pinochet era. He says when No premiered in Santiago, it sparked a national discussion, with some people arguing the film was too light.
There's people that thought it was just ideologically stupid to put the perspective on that guy. And then people that really loved the movie and realized that we were just creating a fiction with a metaphor purpose behind it.
Many of those who worked on the 1988 campaign played themselves or their counterparts in the film.
If there's something that is really beautiful that this movie made, is that the people who actually did the campaign has finally been recognized.
People wanted to see a film about how good we can be instead of how horrible things were.
Chilean writer Ariel Dorfman says No is now a great point of pride, especially as the first film from Chile to be up for an Academy Award.
It's reminding people that, yes, we can. I mean, that against the worst odds, Chile has a spirit of joy and ability to overcome the worst circumstances. And I think this is part of the return of some sort of joy to Chile. And we deserve it. Our people deserve it.
No me gusta, no.
Mandalit del Barco, NPR News.
From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, edited by Renita Jablonski and Martha Wexler.
The editorial staff includes Shanita Anderson, Rina Advani, Jordana Hochman, Arnie Seipel, Kenya Young, Maeve McGoran, David McGuffin, and Jessica Smith, with Nina Gregory and Arzu Rizvani here at NPR West.
Our senior supervising editors are Chuck Holmes, Kitty Isley, and Shannon Rhodes. The acting executive producer is Tracy Wall. NPR's executive editor is Madalika Zicker.
The executive editor of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer.